Starting another brand new hour now, the Steve Gerber Show, coming to you live from Studio G. Right here in the heart of America, I'm Steve Gerber, fighting for you from the foxhole of freedom, willing to tell you the truth, but nobody else will. Look, the truth hurts a little bit, but sometimes we have to take that pain to move forward. Here are three big things you need to know to start this hour. Number one, the newly elected president of Panama says he is going to slam the door on the Darien Gap, an area of jungle that's been overrun with the illegals for years, but he says that's all about to end. Number two, Donald Trump spent Saturday with 100,000 of his closest friends in New Jersey. Today he'll spend it with Michael Cohen, his former attorney in court. We'll talk about that. And number three, oh, Canada, what on earth are you doing? I ask because our neighbor to the north has been a favorite destination of mine for years. The splendid outdoor playground, wonderful museums and restaurants, and for the most part, almost as free as America, almost. But the great white north is turning darker by the day. When freedom in the true north of Canada goes south, a pandemic ensues. When the body politic loses its freedom, free thinkers are the next victims. Such is the nature of an illiberal pandemic. An illiberal pandemic born in Canada and soon to be born by all Canadians who support free speech due to Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party of Canada. If the Online Harms Act becomes law, a pandemic of this sort is inevitable. Even if the act fails, a pandemic is still possible. An outbreak is not improbable because the ideology responsible for the act, it's in the air. The act has breached the House of Commons and escaped the walls of this laboratory of democracy to the north. The act is set to hit us in the United States too. The die is cast, as they say. Here's what you need to know. The act would create a digital safety commission. Let that sink in, a digital safety commission to police speech. Vesting this group, this ministry of hate, with the power to censor, fine, and prosecute anyone who says hateful things, whatever that definition turns out to be. The guilty would have 24 hours to change their ways and erase their words, or be punished to the full extent of the law for thought crimes. That's right, thought crimes. That every Canadian is guilty of impolite speech is less important than the fact that some Canadians are more guilty because of their politics. Conservatives, members of the Conservative Party, classical liberals and civil libertarians, critics and citizens are all suspects. Criminal suspects in the eyes of this Orwellian Safety Commission. And of course, it goes without saying, but I will anyway. Anyone who opposes this commission is a threat, as you can imagine, to public safety. Anyone who says the commission does not threaten our safety, that what Canada does to her citizens has no influence on what the federal government does to us here, well, you're not paying close enough attention. That loss of liberty on one side of the northern border does not lead to loss on our side. If you believe that, you are simply naive. Anyone who says the commission is not a form of illegal immigration, or that a bad idea in one land does not lead to the enactment of a bad law in our land, is, again, not paying attention. Safety. Safety is the watchword of the enemies of liberty and the pretext for restrictions on civil liberties for the benefit of the state, not your benefit nor mine, but the collective power of government. Safety is Canada's newest and most dangerous export. Safety. Safety without liberty secures nothing but the state's monopoly on power, control, and yes, eventually violence to enforce that power and control. No doubt the irony lost on Justin Trudeau is the act is incompatible with Canada's other main export, comedy. You know, leave it to a humorless politician or rather political hack to support a bill that would outlaw humor or at least increase the number of Canadian comics seeking refuge and asylum in the United States. Add this group to the roll call of names whose ranks include Jim Carrey, John Candy, Martin Short, Rick Moranis, Phil Hartman, Mike Myers, Dave Thomas, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, and even Norm MacDonald. Silence! Censors cancel comedians because comedians mock censors and norms and politicians. Do we believe comedy is so sacred an art, or that art is so sacred as to be free of censorship or political interference? Please. Do we believe censors are sensitive about how they wield power? They're so sensitive as to be sensible about how to exercise that power. Do we believe our beliefs are immune from censorship? That a commission in need of enemies has an endless supply of them in us? Canada's a test market right now for political programming in the United States. Yeah, they're test marketing in Canada under Justin Trudeau. That's what's happening. Let me tell you this and make it clear. For every citizen like myself who abhors censorship, there's a politician who endorses it, either publicly or behind some curtain somewhere. For every citizen who values liberty, like me and you, there's a politician who promises to defend it. Are these promises going to be kept? Do they keep their word? No. Have they repealed the Patriot Act or acted like patriots? How about FISA? Have they done anything to stop harming us, or are they instead harmful to the promulgation of online conversation? Is the Online Harms Act not harmful to free speech? Is the act not a sneak preview of our political future, potentially, in which the unelected, the nameless, faceless arbiters of safety have the power to delete our words before the state deletes our entire existence? This is the deep state, my friends, defined and revealed, and all you have to do is look north, and right there it is. Show me a commission whose great virtue is restraint, whose mission is its own obsolescence. Doesn't exist, you see. Show me an example that goes against Ronald Reagan's dictum that government programs, once launched, never disappear. Remember these words.
No government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. So government programs, once launched, never disappear. Actually, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life we'll ever see on this earth.
The nearest thing to eternal life we will ever see on this earth. Ronald Reagan's eternal life, a government agency, is, as Reagan says, as close to eternal life as we will ever come. They never die. Government is loath to relinquish power, and people in government are loath to surrender power. This rule applies to all governments, be they democracies or dictatorships, because the people who come together to form a government or have the worst government foisted upon them, all people are human. Everyone is with sin, you see. Agencies that sin against us are most sinful, however. Any agency that corrupts and perverts language, to prohibit language, that is a sin against us, the citizens. Any agency that uses language to protect us from using the English language, from using any language for that matter, commits a grievous sin in my estimation. I mean, is the Bible not a threat to tyranny? Is the Declaration of Independence not a threat to homegrown tyrants? Is the First Amendment not a threat to all tyrants? Let that sit there for a moment. Is the First Amendment, my right to free speech and yours, to express myself, to follow my religion the way I choose, to stand in opposition peacefully to protest, is the First Amendment not a threat to all tyrants? Of course it is. That's why it is the founding principle of America. Let that sit for a moment. I'll be right back. This is Monday on the Steve Gruber Show.
And we're off to somewhere.
To anywhere. Chatting about how Enbridge has invested in renewable energy projects like solar.
Right. That's what we're doing.
Yep. We're just two friends in a radio ad, letting everyone know these renewable energy projects can power more than 1 million homes.
It's the reason we're here, Zakiya.
It's the reason we exist, Mike.
So what happens when this commercial ends?
We say, Tomorrow is on.
Enbridge.
Life takes energy.
Drivers, when you see the flashing lights of a stopped emergency vehicle, tow truck, or road maintenance vehicle, use your lights too. First, show your brake lights by slowing down at least 10 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. Then, flash your turn signal and move over to the next lane if possible. This protects roadway responders and others. It's also the law. So when you see flashing lights, slow down and move over. sponsored by the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Now hiring? We've heard you. At the Michigan Chamber, we know that businesses of every size, location, and industry are facing talent shortages. That's where Emerge Skilled comes in. It's a new digital workforce solution for Michigan Chamber members and our state's businesses. With hundreds of employers just like you and tens of thousands of work-ready students, Emerge Skilled is a proven technology that helps you connect with today's talent and build a long-term pipeline for your future.
To take advantage of Emerge Skilled, email dbrownback@michamber.com. dbrownback@michamber.com.
Nearly 2,000 of the state's top student athletes will be recognized for excelling academically and in school activities through the MHSAA's Scholar Athlete Award, underwritten by Farm Bureau Insurance. The applicants will be in the running for a total of 32 $1,000 college scholarships. Application materials are available exclusively online through the MHSAA website. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.